It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Monday, June 22nd, 2020. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
How was your weekend, Shauna, and the days when I was gone last week?
It was good. Yeah, the weekend was super awesome. I got to see my family, who I haven't seen in a long time. I got to meet my new niece.
You were in Revelstoke, right? You all met up there.
Revelstoke, yeah, to meet the family kind of halfway between Vancouver and here. So that was awesome. So kind of a whirlwind trip. How was your time off?
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Nice to relax and just honestly not think about the show for a few days. Just kind of recharge my batteries.
Yeah.
Went to pick up my kids in Saskatoon. That's where my parents were looking after them. And McKenna's mom had them before that while she recovered from her surgery.
Yeah.
So I hadn't seen them in like 9 days. And they was pretty excited to see them. And then came back on Saturday. We took a ferry. Nice. There's a little ferry operation outside of the city called the Finnegan Ferry, about an hour and a half east of here. And I hadn't been on a ferry since I was very, very young. And people from the coast, when they hear ferry, are going to think of like a big ship with, with amenities and stuff. This is basically just a platform that crosses the river. But it was still kind of cool.
That's cool. So,
yeah, and now we're right into the heart of summer, so this is great.
Yeah, we are.
At the end of this podcast today, if it looks a little longer to you, we have a good chat with Jeremy Taggart and Jonathan Torrens from the Taggart and Torrens podcast. They've got a new comedy album out that they're promoting, so we had a chance to talk with those guys. But first,
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
When I was driving through the mountains on Friday, we passed this white wall. It was the strangest thing. Like, from a distance, I saw this. It just looked like a bunch of white, and I was like, what on earth is going on here? Apparently, it was a pollen storm.
Oh, gross.
Which I never knew was even
gross.
A thing. But when you looked at it, that's kind of what it looked like. It was just all this pollen, like, in the air. And I was like, what on earth? Like, is that what that is? I couldn't really, place it. And then I looked it up when I got back, and it was a pollen storm.
That's a real thing.
It's a real thing. And it's just, I guess the wind takes it, and it kind of works like a haboob.
A haboob.
It's almost like a haboob. It works the same way, but it's pollen, which is crazy to me. Like, I just didn't know. I was just thinking about that as I saw that, and I was like, if you had allergies,
oh man,
would you just cry? You just see that coming, like, oh!
You're like, oh, this isn't good.
This isn't good at all.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. But yeah, there was people who had pictures of it, and I looked, like, there's videos and stuff, and you can see it. It's like a wall of white. It's like pollen coming towards you. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, that's nasty.
Oh yeah,
we were in Lindsay Park yesterday.
Yeah,
and the wind picked up and it was blowing these like pollen bombs off the trees. They're like the size of my fist.
Oh god,
you can almost hear them hit the ground.
Oh my.
And I was like, what plant are these coming off of? Is this from a pussy willow? Where do these come from?
Do we have pussy willows?
I don't know. I don't even know what a pussy willow is, to be honest with you.
You've never seen a pussy willow?
I'm going to have to Google it right now.
You're going to have to look up the pussy willow just to see. But regardless,
flags are going off on the computer here. He's Googling pussy willows. Oh, that's a pussy willow. Okay. Yeah, that's what it could be.
Stop saying that the weird way.
What, pussy willow?
The way you're saying it. Stop it. Dear Lord.
What are those things that grow beside ponds on the prairies? They're like those. It looks like a turd, and then they blow open, and they're like, are they reeds?
Yes.
Like a cattail reed or whatever. Is that, that's not a pussy willow. This is a pussy willow.
Okay.
I always thought the other ones were pussy willows, and now.
No.
Glad I've dialed in my pussy willows here, so.
You need to stop.
I can't. I just can't. It's such a funny
Between
word.
Between haboobs and pussy rolls, this has just gone off.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So my wife, McKenna, had a nose job last week. A schnozoplasty, as they call it in the medical textbooks.
Yeah, for sure.
And she got her cast off before we left on Wednesday, so she got to see the results. Mm-hmm. And they are really kind of amazing. Like, I was expecting her to look quite a bit different.
Yeah.
Like, she had a nose job.
Right.
And she doesn't at all. Like, she looks exactly like herself, just with the slightest corrections to, like, the shape and direction of her nose. It's amazing.
Interesting. Which, I guess, I mean, that's what you'd hope for, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. You haven't seen it yet, hey?
No. So, I'm excited to.
Yeah. She thinks that, like, it's so subtle that people aren't even going to realize that she had anything done, which is the goal, I guess. But she's like, then I have to, like, justify it.
No, you don't. just the, first of all, you never have to justify anything that you get done. Like, it's, who cares?
It's your own rig, right? It's your own body.
That's
so.
Just it. But on the other hand, yeah, like, if it corrected the whatever she was self-conscious about in her nose, and that's awesome. It's all, it's why she got it, so.
And she's thrilled with the results, but I was thinking, man, those surgeons are artists.
Yeah.
Like they are.
They actually are. It's what they do.
You could mess that up so badly, and I think sometimes they do, but this guy did not.
There's a whole show
about
that.
He did incredible. Yeah, that's true. There is, isn't there? She still has a lot of healing left to do, though, and it's very sensitive right now, and she's quite concerned about our boys who are 5 and 3, and they just, you know, they thrash around like young boys do, and she's going to get hit in the nose by one of them. Imagine taking like a 3-year-old's head in the nose after you just had surgery on it.
It's making me nauseous thinking about that.
And like when the cast is off, you kind of forget that she is still very sore. At least when the cast is on, you're like, oh, something is amiss here. But my mom was like, why doesn't she wear like a COVID face shield until it's totally healed?
It's not a bad idea.
Like, that really isn't a bad idea.
No, protect her for now.
Remind the kids that she's still sore.
Yeah.
Also offer a little bit of protection. I was thinking, though, she's walking around the house wearing a COVID shield. Don Cherry would chirp her for that.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this here. What kind of pansy's wearing the visor around the house?
It's a medical shield, Don. It's for protection. You've probably seen a lot of people wearing them.
Hey, I've seen you people wearing them. Whole country's getting soft, if you ask me.
You really need to stop saying you people.
All I know is more immigrants should be like Zdeno Chara. Doesn't wear the visor. He'll fight. He'll throw a dirty hit.
Are you just trying to get fired these days, Don?
Hey, rock 'em, sock 'em, support the troops. Let's go.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So part of my parents' religion, they're Christian Scientists, which is different than Scientology. It's still strange, though.
You always have to...
Everybody's always like, Scientology?
And I'm No,
not that.
Not that strange.
No.
Strange.
Strange, though.
But not that strange.
And this is an indication of how strange it is. Over the weekend, I visited my parents, and they don't believe in the limitations that age puts on you. So they don't like to, they've never talked about age. They don't like to talk about age because they don't want people like, well, you're 70 now, you shouldn't be doing this. Because of course, for them, it's like, it's spiritual. You're supposed to be spiritual, not physical. And age puts physical limitations on you.
Oh, okay.
If that, and is that like, makes sense.
Is that for everybody? Like, do they feel that way about young people as well? Do they don't like to talk about the ages of young people or?
Yeah, it's weird because for that, obviously, it's a little bit different. Like, they're not going to treat you like an adult if you're young, obviously, you know, but they just, age is never a big thing. Like, they just don't go into details of, well, you're this age, so you should be doing this or shouldn't be doing this. They just don't like talking about that, especially as you get older. Younger, I think, I don't know. They don't, that one I haven't seen happen as much. Anyway, we were talking about my grandpa when I was with my parents over the weekend. My grandpa passed away when I was fairly young. And so I at one point said to them, I said, what year did grandpa die? And both my parents looked at me like I had asked a question that they shouldn't know the answer to. They're like, well, I don't know.
They don't. Is this your mom's dad or your dad's dad?
This is my dad's dad. And my dad.
They don't know what year he died?
No idea. And I was just like, what do you mean you don't know? Like,
do they not believe in time?
They just.
Or years? Or?
Because they don't note those types of things. And like dying from this age, they just didn't ever keep it in their brain what year he'd passed away.
Wow.
And I was sitting there looking at them like, what do you mean you don't? Well, like, figure it out. You've got to be able to figure this out. Like, I don't know what did. Process of elimination here, you should find. And they were like, they were perplexed. They couldn't for the life of them. My dad was like, I don't know.
Really? Did they figure it out?
Weird. No, my brother-in-law Googled his funeral to try and figure it out because they couldn't quite remember. And all I remember is that I was in dance class at the time. I was in ballet. So for me, I was like, I know I was fairly young. That's why I wanted to know. I was like, how old was that? And they couldn't figure it out. My brother-in-law was like, we think it's back in 2003 or something. I don't even remember what he said because they weren't even certain on that. And I was just like,
wow, that is strange.
So weird.
I mean, there are a lot of people that believe that age is just a number and that we shouldn't put so much focus on that. And you know what? I'll admit that I'm guilty of doing that too. You know, like I'm thinking, well, maybe Bernie Sanders shouldn't be running for president. He's 78 years old, but that's no testament to what kind of job that he would do. So I've fallen into that trap as well.
Yeah.
But
And it wasn't 2003. That was too old. It would have been like 96, maybe. I don't know. They had no idea. We still don't know the answer to this question.
You don't
question.
Know when Grandpa died?
I don't know when Grandpa died.
So I probably shouldn't even ask how old he was when he died, because they wouldn't know that either, would they?
Nope.
You know, like, I know my grandma died last year. She was 89 years old.
No. Nope.
She would have been 90 this past week. And your parents don't think of it like that.
No, I had to ask my relatives how old my parents were, because they wouldn't tell me. They like just...
Really?
So I only found that out recently, and from that I can figure out their age. But yeah, it's
how
bizarre.
Old was Grandpa when he died? Well, he departed when his spirit was ready.
That's... Like, what?
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
My dad was telling me this funny story over the weekend about he and his cousin. He grew up in a small town in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And his cousin is not my mom. But he...
Are you sure? Have you ever gotten those tests done, or...
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe that's why your eyes are so close together. Sorry.
That would explain it, wouldn't it? Anyway, he said one year in his high school in this small town, they had enough kids for two classes. So they split the class up into an A class and a B class. And he and his cousin were arguing. She was in the B class. My dad was in the A class. And he's certain that they split the class along intelligence lines. He's like, the B class was definitely slower. And he has some pretty strong evidence to support this. their principal at the time. And I've talked about this guy before. This is the principal that my dad's best friend tried to fight in high school because he was punching students.
Right.
So the principal was building a new house in town across from the school.
Yeah.
And he was like having the students work on the house during the B class was working on the house during school hours. My dad said he remembers being in a chemistry lab and looking out the window at this house across the street, and the B class is up there shingling the roof.
Oh my God. I mean, I guess if you need your work done, you might as well take the B class out there and get him to go. Oh man.
And his cousin was talking about like, oh, we graduated in this year, whatever. And my dad was like, graduated? You guys were shingling the principal's roof. The B class was not graduating. What a different time, hey?
Oh, could
you
that's
imagine
amazing.
That now? Principal would not, well, first of all, wouldn't get away with punching students.
Well.
And secondly, wouldn't get away with using them to labor on his new build in town.
If the cousins misbehaved, though.
It was a different place at a different time.
The VNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
A friend sent me this picture of a marina in Brockville, Ontario called Terry's Marine.
Oh, yeah.
And it's what you'd expect. It's basically this trailer and then a lot outside with some boats in it, some new, a lot of used.
I'm sure they sell darts and gas and fireworks
absolutely.
Inside.
Absolutely.
Live bait, maybe?
Yeah. And I was thinking about this, and I was like, you know, we've talked recently about how much Terry's love boats. Like, it's a big part of Terry culture.
Yeah.
And we've kind of discovered it more recently, and I was like, I'm shocked there aren't more Terry's marinas. And I hit a quick Google search, and there are a lot of them. And I was like, of course there is. Of course. I just pictured Terry as a boat salesman, though. Like, I think he focuses more on the features that matter. Like, how many times a girl's boob pops out of the boat, you know? He's trying to sell a boat, and he'll talk about how high the rooster tail gets. You know, how many trees it can pull out.
What's the rooster tail?
It's when you aim the engine down and you have that big spray out the back of the boat. Yeah, yeah, that's something that Terry loves as well.
Out, probably.
Yeah, splashing that on people and around and just making a rooster tail as big as he can.
How loud it is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, louder the better. These are the things that matter. How many beer cans it can hold? These are the things that people want. That's how Terry's selling his boats, I'd say.
Do they normally measure the like engine hours on a boat? I've never owned a boat or anything.
It goes by hours.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. For him, it's how many hours of fun it provides, you know?
So rather than 5,000 hours on the motor, he could be like, five titty slips under, five nip slips on this baby.
Yep, yeah. Or how many sets of boobs have ever been on the boat? He keeps track of that.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Neither of us are big worriers, are we, Shauna? I don't think so. I don't think we get real anxious about the big things, and we're generally pretty optimistic.
Yeah.
But if I'm being honest with you, I'm a bit worried right now. Why? I'm listening to this podcast series about the potential for a second American Civil War. What circumstances could lead to armed conflict? And even though this podcast was released over a year ago,
mm-hmm.
everything the host predicted in it, we're seeing right at this moment. He was talking about like widespread protests, financial crisis, Democrats starting to arm themselves, the military being used against civilians, autonomous zones popping up.
Oh boy.
And all, I'm just looking around like, wow, this guy was spot on. It's wild. Like, he talks about some of the sparks that could set it off.
Yeah.
And one of the things he mentions would be a huge spike in gas prices. That might do it, he thought. And he talks a lot about Donald Trump's role in this.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I haven't spent a whole lot of time talking about President Trump in the past year or two because I think people are generally kind of tired of hearing about it. Either you seek it out or you don't.
It's true.
But honestly, I'm a bit worried about what's going to happen if Donald Trump gets back in November. Or if he doesn't.
Interesting. That'll be the judgment call, kind of, the time.
That's when it, I mean, it's totally possible that's when it could kick off, right?
Never thought about that.
I got to admit, I was one of the people that thought before he was elected that, you know, maybe an outsider, even someone like Donald Trump, could be a good shakeup for the American political system. I thought, I think I used the analogy of a forest fire, and now I think I was wrong. I can see that I was probably wrong about that. What kind of protests are we going to see if he wins in November?
Man.
What are his supporters going to do if he doesn't win? And this podcast host touched on this as well. This is the worst scenario of all. What if he loses and refuses to peacefully transition out of office?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big what if, but...
Yeah.
I don't know if I could see that happening,
but who knows at this point.
That's it. We're living in a time where it feels like anything is possible, so maybe that isn't such a stretch. I don't know. Just thinking, I hope that the week of the election, it's really cold in the United States.
Yep.
That might keep things from getting too crazy.
Protest-wise,
Yeah, or the week of the inauguration, because I think it was during his inauguration when protests got real wild last time around, and I mean, things were different than they are now. So
I hope that none of this is the case, but it's a little bit alarming.
Yeah, all of these things is what has me worried.
Yeah.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
A friend of mine is looking into becoming a corrections officer. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. From what I've heard, that's quite an interesting job.
Yeah, my sister-in-law and her fiance are both corrections officers and they love it.
Do they?
They love it, yeah.
It seems like it's always different and there's always, it's just one of those jobs that keeps you on your toes, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
She was saying that, like, you really get to know the inmates, obviously, because you're with them every day. And she's like, some of them are just so funny. She's like, I don't know like how much they're allowed to laugh at the jokes and stuff, but she's like, sometimes the guys are just cracking me up.
That's so funny. Like,
I think they deal with a lot of problems, too, obviously. But
I can imagine.
Like I said, I think they enjoy it. Keeps you on your toes.
I was thinking about this, though, and, of course, the minute I heard that, I was like... Have we ever done jail cops?
I don't believe we have. It's almost too obvious,
isn't it? I was
going to say,
it seemed so obvious. I was like, we must have. But then I got thinking, I was like, I don't think we ever have.
And that's what corrections officers are.
That's what they are.
They're jail cops.
Okay.
Jail cops!
Jail cops! We're cops in jail. We check your cell and your mail.
Prison cops!
Prison cops!
Justice prevailed, and now you're in jail.
Don't take the bait. You'll become an inmate.
Corrections cops!
Corrections cops!
Yard time is better than hard time.
Choose to live. Don't use a shim.
Jail cops!
Jail cops!
Your cell is clean, but to be sure, we're gonna need to check your bum. Incarceration cops!
Why do we always have to go to the bum?
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Donuts are so hot right now.
Oh, yeah, they are.
We went out one evening last week looking for a place that was still open selling gourmet donuts because McKenna had a real craving for them. And I know you're on the donut train too, Shauna.
Well, I especially ordered some because I've heard about these for months and they're so hard to get.
Yes.
You have to order them right away or else they sell out. So
yes.
I finally got on the train and I got my order in. So I got them delivered and I'm pretty excited.
That's how hot these places are.
So hot.
They'll open their orders and if you aren't there right away, you don't get any donuts. They're gone like that.
I know.
And I was thinking, treats seem to always have a really short, intense window of popularity.
Yeah.
First, it was expensive cookies.
Yeah.
Then it was cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
Then Cake Pops had a brief moment in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Frozen yogurt has kind of ebbed and flowed throughout it all. Like Jürgenfroß.
Yeah. Oh,
frozen yogurt.
Oh, the Jürgenfroß.
You like Jürgenfroß, you silly boy?
Okay.
Bom, 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 bom. Go and get some Jürgenfroß. And now it's donuts.
You just went a little, got a little weird there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh.
And then there's also the raw cookie dough in there.
Oh, yes. I forgot about cookie dough.
Yeah. That was a big thing for a while.
Yeah. Treats come and go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking we're living in the heyday of donuts right now.
Yeah.
What's going to be next? If you wanted to capitalize and get out in front of it.
Well, the interesting thing with these donuts and what's happening these days is they're taking the most unhealthy foods and trying to make them healthier as well.
Right.
Because they're like, you add a little protein, bit of protein into them.
Take away some of the sugar.
Exactly. A lot of the places are doing that, yeah. Right? So it's like you can still have the treats, but they're the better version. So
then you don't feel so bad when you're
have seven
eating
of them.
A bunch of them.
Yeah.
What's going to be next, do you think? What's your prediction?
Hmm.
If you had to get out in front of this one, is it going to be something like cinnamon buns? Is it going to be...
Cinnamon buns a good guess. Yeah. Or like pies, but pies kind of...
Pies, ooh.
They've been pretty steady. Like pies always have a place, you know? So I don't know.
Pie stock has maintained all these years.
Pie stock has kept... Yeah, it's been good.
This is the time to be buying donuts right now, though, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, yes. Donuts are so hot right now.
Come get your donuts.
You simply must have donuts.
Eat all your donuts.
If you don't have donuts at your next event, you're nothing.
Take the most unhealthy food, add some protein, and you've got the best donuts.
Yes, donuts.
So, y'all.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
You may know the name Jeremy Taggart as the drummer of Our Lady Peace. You probably know the name Jonathan Torrens from his work on Street Sense, Jonavision, Trailer Park Boys, Mr. D. These days, they also host the Taggart and Torrens podcast. How are you guys doing?
It's really good. Beckler and Shauna in the morning is an excellent, like, your names fit together really well, almost like Taggart and Torrens. Beckler and Shauna in the morning.
Oh, hey.
Like, it just rolls off the tongue.
I'm Shauna.
Jonathan Torrens, what's your favorite flavor of chips?
Obviously Salt and Vinny's, but I like the garbage Lay's, not the Miss Vicky's high-end ones. You know what? Beckler, if you ever retire, Shaunathan in the morning, that's the show that people want to listen to.
Oh, we can have one of those combo names that's so hot right now.
I'll just pack my
shit. It's Shaunathan in the morning.
Shaunathan. It's much less syllables is great, yeah.
Congratulations on the release of your new comedy album, Bods.
Yeah.
Bods.
Thanks so much, Bods.
Yeah, thank you.
We got to tell you, as soon as the single came out, we had all of our listeners sending to us, Terry Got Wasted.
Share old memories we hold dear, but it's the same old story every year. Terry Got Wasted. Terry Got Wasted.
Because Terry holds a very special place on this show. Like, we, for years now, we have been nominating Terry's of the month. We've been talking about Terry. Listeners have been messaging us with their Terry sightings out and about. So we know all about Terry.
No way.
This is it. It's an anthem for you guys.
Yes, man. Absolutely.
It truly is. It's funny because Terry is just kind of the quintessential Canadian guy. Like, we talk about him a ton. So it was so funny. Yeah, the minute your single came out, everybody was like, oh my God, they made you an anthem for Terry.
Yes,
well, the great thing about Terry, because everyone knows them, is there's no malice intended. Terry's not trying to hurt anyone. He's just having a great time, and that's why you can't help but love him.
All night, he parties harder than everyone in daytime, but in the morning, he's very sorry.
And sometimes he says some things that aren't politically correct, but you know his heart's in the right place, hey?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, he says things that are absolutely, he would never say them unless he was banged up.
But Terry's probably the guy that when you get up in the morning, he's made omelets for everyone because he's still up.
He's still wasted from the night before, obviously.
Yeah. He redeems himself every single day.
And the omelets are full of eggshells.
Yeah. He may have lost an eyebrow as well the night before. He's just there. He doesn't even know.
He's cooking omelets with no pants.
Terry, you're bleeding in the omelets, bud.
What?
That won't hurt you.
Tell us a bit about the video that you guys shot for it. Which lake was that on?
Well, because we've been trying to generate a lot of content in quarantine, there were actually, if you look closely, four Terrys in the video. Jeremy was one at the lake near his house in Toronto.
Yeah.
I was another at a lake where my in-laws' folks' cottage is. I had a cardboard Terry that I burnt in the fire, and my father-in-law was a Terry passed out under the deck. But actually, we had five because Dan O'Toole from Jay and Dan played Terry in the video.
There's ocean shots, too. So it's like with Adam Baldwin and his shots, it's literally the ocean. So Terry got so banged up that he's either in a lake or by the ocean.
This is the next iteration of The Hangover. He just winds up in foreign places.
The Canadian Hangover, yeah.
The one thing I found interesting is that I noticed in the song you said cabin. Now,
you know what?
Yeah.
This was something we debated because at different places in the country, I live on the East Coast, everyone here has a cottage.
I know.
But I know there's a cabin, and out west, you folks have chalets sometimes, don't you? There's also like the hunting camp.
Yep.
Yeah.
So as long as it starts
or the
with
shack.
A C.
There's the shack as well.
Is another one.
That's why when I heard you say cabin, especially knowing that you're from the East Coast, because I grew up in Ontario, and of course it's cottage there, but here, because we're in Alberta, I always make a point of saying cabin. So I was like, I wonder if that was a conscious decision on which one to use.
It was, because sometimes when I think people think I might as well be wearing an ascot, it sounds so pretentious. But I think that's just because the East Coast is close to England, and then they use there. That's part of how it arrived on our shores.
I'm a longtime listener to your podcast, Taggart and Torrens, Canadianity. And actually, Jeremy Taggart has been on this show once before to talk about one of the funniest stories you ever told on that show, which was the Joey Kramer story when he lit his car on fire.
That's a great tale.
I was trying to. I can remember the other two times specifically where I laughed harder than any other moment on your podcast, and it was when you were talking about Dean Castronovo singing for Journey.
Oh, yes, yes. He's like all of a sudden he starts singing and he's even better than the other guy.
And the third
there's
one
like
was
10 guys that can do a wicked Steve Perry in that band. Like a guitar tech will come out and just start pounding Don't Stop Believing. Surrender!
And then they found another guy in the Philippines that can sing like that. I'm like, are these guys just hiding everywhere? Like,
I know. There's some deep cut Canadianity for you. Mike Smith, who played Bubbles on Trailer Park Boys, and I were in an 80s cover band for a short time called The Should Have Been Gones.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. Man.
Which is about the best name for an 80s cover band we could think of. Should Have Been Gones!
I would say that one of the most fearful things I think in my life would be Neil Sean. Like the way he probably treats all the Steve Perry look-alike, sing-alike guys. Get in your cage!
I believe the plural is Steve's Perry.
Steve's Perry.
Like the Brothers Grimm.
Yeah.
And the third time I remember laughing harder than any other time was Jonathan, when you were talking about when you met Corey Hart at the Junos.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was dying. I think I was like hanging out with my kid and I was just dying laughing.
Well, I was surprised to hear that he talks the way he sings. So he wandered over. I was happened to be the only guy standing around, and he just said, "Excuse me, can I ask you a question?" Like, are you serious, Corey Hart? That's how you talk? It's amazing. Like, even in exchanging pleasantries, he was pouty and delightful.
Did you flat out ask him that? Like, oh my God, I didn't know that you talked like you said.
No, Jonathan, you got to say what he said.
Oh yeah, so he was nominated for Best Male Artist in the year 2000 or something, and his kid was sick at home, and he's a real devoted family man and a lovely person. So he's like, "Hey, can you just tell me if I won?" Because his whole thing was, if he was going to win, he'd stick around. But if he didn't, he just wanted to go home and be with his sick kid. I was like, Corey Hart, I don't know if you won, man. Like, someone way above the chain from me knows that answer. I can tell. He's like, just tell me if I won. Just tell me if I won.
Oh my God! Here I am laughing all over again. Holy crap!
Hey, Taggart and I did this fictitious conversation where the head of the Carrot Academy called him to tell him he was getting in to the Hall of Fame. Jeremy, tee me up for it. This is Corey getting the call.
Hey, Corey, it's Peter Simolius from
Hello?
The Walk of Fame.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
How you doing, Corey?
Good, thanks.
Are you sitting down?
I am, yeah.
You've made it. You're in the Canadian Hall of Fame.
Nah, what?
All my niche Canadian impressions don't serve anything. I do a Lyndon McIntyre and a Wayne Rostad from On the Road Again. Like, they're so inside baseball, no one ever wants to hear them.
That's what makes them so good, though. They're, like you said, they're deep, deep Canadianity cuts.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
For both people that get them.
your guys' podcast is a hoot. How many years have you been doing this now?
Six now.
That's great. So are you making money off the podcast yet? Because, I mean, Beckler and I talk about this often and how much of a struggle it is to actually, you know, monetize podcasting.
Well, I mean,
it's become a little
things.
Cottage industry. We've had some sponsorship opportunities, which has helped. But, you know, we wrote a book. We tour a little bit. We have a record now. We do some live shows. We have some merch. So each of those things in and of themselves isn't great.
Right.
But when you kind put it all together, it's sort of become a little, viable industry.
Aside from the podcast, Jonathan, I believe you run a company that supplies production trailers?
I do, yeah. Rolling Production Rentals. And we both have other things we're doing on the side. I've been lucky enough to write some Letterkennies, and I have a character that I play on that show, which has been really fun.
Yeah.
And Jeremy, I've always wondered, are you still making money from Our Lady Peace's success back in the 90s and early 2000s?
Well, it's Canadianity style royalty checks is what I get.
Okay.
And Canadianity meaning like, we weren't Journey, so we don't have like worldwide massive royalty coming in the same way. But it's good. It's not nothing like a Coldplay retirement style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, I keep practicing, I keep playing, and it's awesome that we've been able to kind of make a record with Dying Alone, so I'm still performing, but I haven't, like, given up the chance to, you know, tour again. I just have been enjoying my kids being young and being here, so it's been a nice little 6 years.
I was going to ask you about the Terry Got Wasted video. You had a pretty beautiful drum kit out on the water there, and I was nervous the whole time.
Yeah, no, it's a... I had the Craviatos and the YTs and the boats, the little tin boats. But drums are good; they're wood.
Okay
with that stuff. Yeah.
What's your after doing the podcast for 6 years? What's your philosophy on it? Is there certain things that you find work that people really want to hear, and things that you've kind of ruled out over doing it for so long?
I think when we started to actually resonate with our audience was when we allowed ourselves to confess some of the things in our lives that weren't going great. And when people kind of got to peek behind the curtain on our friendship a little bit, we've talked about the loss of parents and everyday struggles as consumers and things like that. It's one of the last kind of areas where you can have a long-form conversation and it's warts and all. So our podcast is an hour-long conversation every week, and we don't really do much prep, and we don't edit any of it out. So I think some of it lands and some of it doesn't, but if you kind of wade through the stuff that doesn't, it makes the stuff that works work that much harder.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's not too slick.
Just kind of more of a,
Real.
Raw.
Yeah, it's real.
It's awesome.
It's honest conversation is all it is. I mean, the reason why we started doing the podcast is because we would be chatting on the phone and just laughing. And, I mean, it just felt like, because we're intrigued with each other and our reactions towards each other were seemingly entertaining. So I guess that's probably why it translated, because that's, at the end of the day, that's all it is us kind of having a conversation, and we're interested in each other's points of view.
I think there are many groups of friends who have that same sort of thought process. Like, this is really funny, we should record it. But you guys actually went and did it, and it also helps that You have great name recognizability, and you have such a wealth of stories from your respective careers.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing that's really a kick is sometimes if you work on a Mr. D, for example, or a record, as I've recently learned, there's months or sometimes years before it comes out. We can record this Monday morning, and it's out Monday evening, and we get real-time feedback on it, so we can either do another episode of a character that we came up with that people seem to dig, or bail on something that wasn't working. So it's great to get real-time incorporative feedback, too.
Bods is out now. It's streaming everywhere. The single Terry Got Wasted is hilarious. The music video is on YouTube. Jeremy Taggart, Jonathan Torrance, thank you guys so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. For championing Terry's everywhere.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.